And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." The angel said, a Savior has been born to you. And what the angel is saying is that God, your Heavenly Father, has sent a Savior because you need to be saved. We've looked at Luke chapter 2 for the last several weeks, and one of the things that we've been talking about is the fact that God doesn't really do anything that He doesn't have to do, and He doesn't really waste time, and everything that He does do, He does it with a purpose. And so if He sent a Savior, He sent a Savior because you and I need a Savior. He wasn't just going through the motions. It wasn't to waste time. It wasn't just to create some sort of activity or try to get us to do something. You see, the thing is, God loves you. He cares for you, and He's for you. He created this universe so He could create this planet, so He could create the human race, so He could create you, so He could love you. And He created you to love you so that you could experience His love. That's why you're here. And so when the scripture says, when the angels say to the shepherds, God has sent a Savior, and the reason that He sent a Savior is because every person on earth needs salvation. Now, you've heard people say, I was saved, or I got saved, or you need to be saved. Or maybe you heard somebody say, I became a Christian, or I asked Jesus into my heart. All those mean the same thing. What it means to be saved is to be rescued, to be set free, to be delivered. Now, we're going to watch a video, and we're going to watch this video, and then we're going to come back and look at this passage for just a few minutes. I want you to, as you watch this video, see this family and the children that they take in. What they do for these children is what God has done for us. Let's watch this together. What's true for you and I is that you and I are just like those kids spiritually, and that God rescued us. He came looking for us. If you've said yes to Jesus to follow Him, it wasn't your decision, really. God had been drawing you and speaking to you for a long time. And this scripture, that where the angels come to the shepherds and they say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men, God is bringing a Savior to the world. These guys had a unique perspective, the shepherds did, because they cared for, their life was, in fact, if you look at the very first verse that we read, it says there were shepherds living out in the fields. They weren't just working out in the fields. They were living there. And the flock that they attended, some of those sheep would end up as sacrifices. Some of those sheep would end up as sacrifices in the temple for sins for people. And so the Messiah that they had heard about, when the angels come and say a Savior has been born, and what the angels are saying is God is sending a lamb for all time, for all people, and there's no sacrifice for sins left. And so God's going to kind of put you guys out of a job for a little bit, but it's going to be a really good thing. And you see, shepherds were outcasts. They were considered unclean. Shepherds could not go to the temple. People did not associate with shepherds because they dealt with unclean animals. So they weren't allowed to worship. They weren't allowed to worship like the rest of the Jewish people were. And so the question becomes, why did God choose to announce the birth of Jesus to shepherds first? And one of the reasons is He wanted us to know that everybody's included. Everybody is included. And shepherds were excluded. Shepherds were considered, no one would associate them. They were outcasts. And so God's message is, listen, everybody is included. Maybe you know what it feels like to be excluded from family or from friends. Maybe you know what it's like to feel on the outside. You just don't fit in. You can't find that group. And maybe it's even kind of created some sort of anger, resentment, or bitterness towards God. Why did God allow this to happen? Maybe for you, it's just you, you know, you people consider you a bad person, you know. Maybe you think you're a bad person. People thought the shepherds were bad people. You may even see yourself as a bad person. You know how God sees you? He loves you. He's with you. He's for you. God doesn't see you as a bad person. God sees you probably as a bored person. A bored person who tries to fill up their life with thrills because they've never met something or someone that could fill their heart with all the things that they need. And that's why Jesus came. And he says, listen, don't worry about other Christians. Don't worry right now. Don't worry about church right now. Just think about, let's just be friends. God says, let's just talk about me and you. Because see, the reason that you're feeling lonely and the reason that you're feeling anxious and the reason that you're feeling angry and bitter could very well be because there's a separation with us. And maybe you even believe that Jesus died on a cross. You even believe that Jesus came to this earth and that he was born. And when you celebrate Christmas, you mean it. When you celebrate Easter, you mean it. But there's still a separation. And you say, well, Scott, how can there be a separation if I believe those things? Because the question is, the really important thing is have you trusted him? Have you trusted him with your life? Because just believing is not enough. It's good to know it, but you can know it for a long time. It's when you trust him. It's when you believe on him, not just here, but here. That's when your life changes. So some of you are here today, and maybe you wouldn't say this out loud, you wouldn't say this to anybody else, but what's true about you is that you're really trying to save yourself. I mean, you're hoping that at the end, you know, that you're a good person, basically. You make mistakes, you feel like, if at the end you're going to go to heaven. But if you haven't trusted Jesus, you're missing out on a relationship with him. And so what happens a lot, if you talk to any good lifeguard, I did one summer as a lifeguard in college. It was like the best job I ever had. You go to work at 10 o'clock and you sit in the sun and get a tan and you talk to nice young ladies during the day and you get off at a certain time. It's wonderful. But any good lifeguard will tell you that if someone is drowning and they're fighting and they're thrashing, that you can't approach them from the front. I mean, you can't try to save them. You know why? They're trying to save themselves. And there are certain people that even though they know you're coming, that if you try to save them, they're going to take you under as well. And so you have to kind of come around and put your arm under their arm and swim them to shore. And maybe you kind of have to sit back just for a little bit. Maybe it's not cruel. You're just trying to keep both of you safe, and you tread water a little bit until maybe they calm down, maybe even bob down a couple times. You're trying to save yourself by being good or by coming to church 52 weeks a year or 26 weeks a year or whatever it is. But there's something in you that's hoping that at the end of this that you'll, you know, that it's going to make sense and you're going to be able to have a relationship with God. You're going to be able to go to heaven. But here's the thing. Trusting him simply means this. I give you my life. I don't know what it all means. I can't control it. There's a lot of things about it that scare me. Listen, get the picture of church out of your mind. Get the picture of other Christians out of your mind. Get the picture of religion or what you think it means to have it all together out of your mind. Just be friends with God. Just be friends with your Father. Now, why do I say that? Because sometimes we can have a picture of God, and listen, that's good. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he is high and lifted up, and he rules and reigns over all, and he is worthy of all of our adoration. But he's a Father. And so when you pray to him, when you look to him, he is someone who loves you and he sees all the good in you. The word grace means that he accepts you completely. And you're already thinking, but I've done this and I've thought this and, you know, my life looks like this, Scott. But here's the thing. See, God loves you completely. And that picture of him with his arms wide open, listen, he's ready to accept you and receive you. You know why? Because he created you to love you so you would experience his love. And he's with you and he's for you. He believes in you more than anybody else. Maybe you feel misunderstood. Maybe you feel judged. Maybe you feel abandoned and alone. God is with you more than anybody else. And this is what he's done. Just like the parents in this video, he has come to rescue you. He sees all the good in you, just like those parents. They love those kids. They sought those kids. They brought those kids in, and they're showering them with love. Listen, that's what God wants to do in you today, and that's what he wants to do in you next week, and that's what he wants to do your junior year in high school and your freshman year in college and the first year you get married and when you have your first child. He wants to shower you with his love. That's what he wants to do. So I want to invite you to do this. Listen, I'm not going to ask you to stand up, and I'm not going to ask you to walk down an aisle. I'm just asking you, would you be a friend of God? Would you just be friends with God? Would you just trust him? Would you bow your head? I just want to lead you in a prayer. If you're here tonight and you're thinking, you know what, Scott, wherever you are, that's exactly what I need. That's exactly what I need. Then you know what? There's no magic prayer. There's no guidebook as to exactly how you need to do this in a church or what you're supposed to pray or an aisle you're supposed to walk. There's none of that. It's you and God. It's about your heart and his grace and his love for you. And if you're just willing to say, God, I've messed up. I don't have it together. But I not only believe Jesus died for me, I trust you with my life. I give you my life. And I'm just going to trust you to show me day by day. You're not going to be able to see a month down the road. You're not going to be able to see a year down the road. Just trust him with tomorrow. Just trust him with this week. Would you do that? I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. You don't have to pray this prayer, but something like it. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to this earth. Thank you for Christmas. Jesus, thank you for going to the cross for my sins, so that there would be no sacrifice left. You are the one and only. I trust you with my life. I ask you to forgive me. Make me new. I want to live for you. If you just pray that, if you just prayed something similar to that, listen, it's not about the way you feel when this is over. Maybe you feel great. It's about the truth of what God does when you surrender your life to him. And he rescues you. He delivers you. He saves you. Because God sent a Savior. Father, I thank you for these people that are here tonight. We thank you for Jesus. I thank you for what you're doing in us. God with us. God has come. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.